know if Coach McCarty practices fouling, but I would certainly implore it here.
Maxey on the way for the tie, and it comes up short.
What a win by Evansville.
And for that man right there, what a moment for Walter McCarty.
Brian Morgan is going to fake it on the run, and he's going to come up short. In the first half, remember Reggie Wayne got out of Sean Taylor.
Brian Mormon going back out onto the field,
and that is why
congratulated Sean Taylor.
Loose. Kensville's got it. They've got a timeout. They don't use it. Bane. Yes. The Lumberjacks have done it. The Lumberjacks apparently have done it. They'll look a little longer, but this is going to be the biggest win in program history.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
There's some epicness to open up the show. Sean Taylor highlights, and obviously one of the bigger upsets of, well, this decade or really any other decade, Stephen F. Austin going out and upsetting Duke in what is, I mean, there are ends to games. There are buzzer beaters, Chapman. But then there's whatever the hell happened last night. I mean, the scramble at the opposing end of the court, you got like, what, 3 and 4 seconds to push the ball. They get all the way down on the other, and it ends on a buzzer-beating layup, so much so that the announcers don't even know what's happening. I gotta be honest, man. I missed the game. It was one of those moments where I'm scrolling Twitter. Why would I turn in? I wasn't following the score.
Yeah.
I was scrolling Twitter. I think I was off for like 2 hours. Actually, you know what I did? I had like an hour and a half before the wife got home.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, I'm doing 3 shows today. I got this show, then I got MMA tonight, and then I'm going to hop over and do Cofield and Company from 5 to 6.
My goodness.
So I literally had an hour and a half window, and I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play that new EA Sports Star Wars game, that Jedi Fallen Order, which is actually a really great game.
Is that like a story game?
Yes, which is why I want to get into it. It's a really great story, by the way. I don't want to give any spoilers, but it's a good story. So I'm playing it, and then I put back Twitter after about an hour and a half. And then I see JVT, John Von Tobel, and everyone else going crazy. And I'm like, oh, what did I miss? And then I see that. So,
yeah, everyone's happy when Duke loses.
Well, sure. But, I mean, from someone with no skin in the game, I mean, I wasn't betting yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, Notre Dame wasn't playing. So, I'm, you know, if I'm watching, it's because I'm a sports fan. I wish I would have been watching. But, yeah.
Well,
as a sports fan, you always like seeing a mighty blue blood, no pun, go down, right? It's always nice to see.
Yeah, of course. And the funny thing about that is, I like the fact that the guy from Duke fouled the kid who made the layup as he was escaping from this. Like, he literally like tries to tackle him. And of course it's Duke. So the buffoonery that always ensues when that team plays, officials swallowing their whistles, ghost fouls on the other team. Can you tell I don't like that team?
Well, you live in Las Vegas. You're a UNLV alum.
I
understand. I feel though, if you are a UNLV alum, it is literally written into your DNA
that you have to hate Duke.
You have to hate them. Not just dislike them. You have to hate them and everything that they stand for.
Well, I'm a firm believer in the fact that the NCAA hated Tark and UNLV so much that when UNLV lost that game to Duke, again, ghost foul on Greg Anthony.
Not like you have any memory of this,
so,
sir.
When they were the team that was able to defeat Tark, the NCAA changed the rules for them and only them. And therefore, like, they've allowed Duke to basically have free reign and do whatever they want. Like, there was Lance Thomas on the team that beat Butler in the NCAA tournament, in the championship game. Lance Thomas got a free gift, jewelry, $10,000 at a store in New York City when they were up there playing a game. Swept under the rug, Corey Maggette. Came out and said he had the same types of things going on at Duke that happened at Michigan. Swept under the rug. Michigan, take down your banners.
The mighty Coach K and everything that he means to USA basketball.
He is the biggest hypocrite in sports.
Urban Meyer, I
can't win with
Urban Meyer.
It's not right for all these schools to have one and done players.
right.
And then all of a sudden,
I like your Coach K impression.
And then all of a sudden, Duke isn't winning in the NCAA. They're losing to Lehigh.
Yeah.
They're losing to Norfolk State.
So you'd say,
gotta go out and get one and done now.
You relished last night. Now, the key question, I was honest. I missed the game. Did you see it?
No.
Okay.
I'm like you. I saw it. You know what? It's funny. I had a lot of stuff to do as I prepare for my holiday weekend, but our Thanksgiving weekend.
We're going to get into Thanksgiving and that holiday weekend here very shortly, Chris Chapman.
But no, I missed it, but I was actually walking through the mall and I got an update on my phone. I guess whenever there's something big happens,
like a good millennial, we're getting everything spoiled on our cell phone.
Yes, I get the buzzer, ESPN breaking news. I'm like, oh, what happened? Oh, Duke lost. Yeah,
just going
to Stephen F. Austin.
I know that's the
decent
real kicker.
Program. I mean,
well, decent program, but
Brad Underwood started to build that program just a couple years ago.
But
and then,
the real kicker is the fact that Duke lost to a non-power
to nobody
to a non-power conference team, and the last time they lost to an unranked, non-conference, non-power team, January 5th, 1983, against Wagner. That
wow.
is...
Wagner?
Yep.
Wagner beat Duke at Cameron Indoor.
Well, I mean, that was 1983. I don't even know. That might have been Coach K's first...
Yeah, I know. Well, I know he was... Apparently, he was close to getting fired really early in his tenure there.
Right. I think that wasn't that around, like, I'm checking right now.
It probably was right around the time either his first year, because he came from Army.
Where 1980. Third year.
Yeah.
That's amazing that he's been coaching at Duke.
I always laugh when people say that Duke had no program before. They did make a Final Four before Coach K got there. So let's not act like they were this horrible joke program. Like, they weren't.
Coach K hate is real. I love it. Let it flow through
you. I'm so passionate about hating Duke. Well, like, I don't hold back at all. Like, I have zero. I can't stand them like I can't stand the Patriots. However, I can at least respect what Tom Brady's done. I have zero respect for Coach K.
Let the hate flow through you, man.
Hey.
I'm on a Star Wars.
I'm on a Star Wars
kick. I just went back and watched The Phantom Menace for the first time. I'm doing all 10 movies.
I have to watch it too.
Yeah, I'm doing all 10 movies before the new one.
I hated it when I saw it in the theaters.
I did too.
The worst one was the second one.
I didn't mind the second one.
Really? Yeah. I hated the whole like 1 hour love scene where they're having a picnic and I'm like, this is nonsense.
It's supposed to show you that Vader had a heart at one point. Anyway,
listen, people
and then
want
the hate, and then the hate flowed through him.
Yes,
and then the hate leads to paranoia.
He looked at Obi-Wan like I look at Duke. I mean, that's real clean old fashioned hate right there.
Get your lightsaber out, Magnum. Let's go.
It's the opening round.
Finish him.
Brought to you by VIP Collision.
Well, a minor somber note, but I think it does bear mentioning every single year, and I'm going to do it as long as I have a radio show on this day 12 years ago, Sean Taylor. That's why you heard the highlights. He passed away.
Him smashing Brian Moorman.
Yep. But he passed away in that home invasion 12 years ago today. I can't believe, number one, it was 12 years. For some reason, it feels longer. Maybe just the trauma of it and how shocking it was and how young he was at 24 years old. I mean, it's conceivable that he's still playing in the league right now, Magnum. Given his talent and how ahead of the curve that he was, and we never really got an idea how great he would have been.
Yeah.
Very much like a Jose Fernandez sort of situation. I think they were the same age, both 24. Both great, all pros, you know, before they were gone, but we never got the full view of Sean Taylor. But you know what? I say maybe he'd be playing today. Maybe he wouldn't, because he might have been suspended. He might have went, you know, with the new rules and the way he played the game.
Yeah, he was a guy who liked to hit. He reminded me a bit of like a throwback safety.
Ronnie Lott.
Yeah, Ronnie Lott is a perfect comparison.
I always thought he was Ronnie Lott.
Like a guy who just would throw his body around with reckless abandon.
We were just talking about yesterday, Lamar Jackson and Mike Vick, right?
Yeah.
And it was like a 15-year gap.
Oh, by the way, just a side note to that.
Yeah.
Your buddy tweeted out that, you know, we talked about it.
Oh, Mr. Travis?
You know who leads the NFL in touchdowns from pocket?
It's Lamar Jackson with 20.
Yes.
Yeah, I failed to mention that yesterday. I just mentioned that he threw 5 the day that Travis was saying, I don't know his longevity.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, he's all, you know, it doesn't do well for running quarterbacks.
He threw
5 in one night.
Yeah, he can't throw from the pocket. Yeah. He's the leading touchdown thrower from the pocket.
Idiot. No, it is. It's just, I don't
and
know.
All the,
and I'm not
the,
bitter.
The,
it's not that. Get your money, Clay. Like, there's a lot of marks out there, and there's a lot of people that, I don't know, believe what they want to believe. But when it comes down to numbers and facts, I don't know. I just, it's tough for me. I get, and I do, like, there is a semblance, and that's the issue with Mr. Travis that I have. Like, a lot of what he was saying, there's some truth there, right?
Yes,
like,
yes,
in terms
is.
Of injury concerns and prior prior evidence that you can pull from, but he muddies those waters so often with just illogical talking points and stuff that just doesn't fit his narrative, and it's completely transparent as to what he's trying to do and rile up. And I just,
well, it's
I
all about,
honest,
yeah,
I don't have respect for that. Right. I don't have respect for that. Now I'm an idiot. Like, anyone who listens to this show, I don't think anyone listens on a daily basis. I don't think anyone can take it 5 days a week. Well, I don't, let me put it this way. I will not blame them if they only tune in occasionally, but you guys know, right? I overrun my headlights. I can be a bit of an idiot sometimes, but I believe what I say. I just don't think that he's a guy. I don't think anybody. And it's not just Mr. Travis. It's any of these people out here that are still trying to hold on to this narrative that Lamar Jackson is anything other than what he is this season. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but can't you people just be quiet and enjoy
what we're watching?
Chris, it's been 15 years, man. And I know we've had Cam in between. I know we had Kaepernick rushing for 181 or whatever it was in the playoffs. Like, we have seen multi-purpose quarterbacks. Someone brought up a great point. I don't use dual threat quarterbacks because that's not that would, or use the term running quarterback.
I think that's more of a college thing, right?
I don't use the term running quarterback because it's a multi-purpose quarterback. All you have to do is look at the numbers, 20 passes from the pocket. That says all you need to know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, going back to Sean Taylor, just want to bring him up, new generation to listen. I know there's probably some kids out there, 16, 17, 18, 20, didn't really get to see Sean Taylor play. But a truly, truly, truly gift to the league for the short time that he was here. So rest in peace to Sean Taylor, and thank you very much for the memories. And we'll at least make sure on this show that in some way his legacy will live on. And, yeah, good stuff. So you brought up Thanksgiving, Chapman. Obviously, we are 24 hours away.
Yes, from less than 24 hours away.
Yeah, absolutely. We got some games. I mean, we use the morning game as the marker. What, 9:30?
Yeah, I think so. Is that what it is, 9:30 a.m.?
I think so. Bears and Lions.
Lions looking like they're playing a third-string quarterback.
And the Bears looking like they're playing a third-string quarterback.
Although he's their starter.
Right. See what we did there? So yesterday,
I'm taking the Lions' third-string quarterback over Mitch Trubisky.
I might.
I don't even know his name.
I want to see where the line goes.
I don't even know what his name is.
No. Who cares?
Lions guy.
Yeah, the Lions guy versus the Bears guy. Lions and Bears, oh my. But yesterday we started the show, and I was kind of like, you know, getting ready for Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, but I was kind of like battling, you know. I mean, I celebrate Thanksgiving. It's the food holiday. I'm a big guy. You know, plus it's a good time to be around your family, watch some football. The weather's always crisp. The leaves are changing. Okay, not here, but for a good portion of the rest of the country.
Some parts of the country
I mean, you go up to Charleston, I'm sure there's
some leaves changing. They've changed in my neighborhood.
Sure, there you go.
Yeah.
I do. You know what? I have a tree in my front yard that's dying.
Yeah.
Or shedding.
Yeah. I don't even know what they call it. Shedding, dying, something. Leaving? Yeah. Leafing.
Leaving
town? I don't know.
So anyway, you know, I was kind of like, you know, happy Thanksgiving, but, you know, as a good millennial, I do kind of battle with what the meaning of Thanksgiving is. But I love Thanksgiving. I say happy Thanksgiving. At least I thought I did. At least I thought I loved Thanksgiving. Then President Trump had one of his rallies last night. And he said there's a war on Thanksgiving. And he said that people don't want us to say happy Thanksgiving anymore. And you know what? I couldn't help but laugh to think about the way I started the show yesterday.
Yes.
I was like, damn, Trump's kind of right. Did I lump an unfair label on this great tradition that we call Thanksgiving?
I don't feel like you were waging a war on Thanksgiving.
No, I mean, I say happy Thanksgiving.
Like this whole thing about waging, and it's going to start tomorrow. There's a war on Christmas.
Yeah.
Putting the Christ
there's
back in Christmas.
Definitely not.
We can't say Merry Christmas. You Starbucks. Can't. It's like.
You can definitely say Merry Christmas.
There are literally videos of Obama saying Merry Christmas like 7,000 times.
And I'm like the most non-religious person that you will probably hear on radio. If anything, like I'm team devil. Like I'm a metalhead. Like I don't align with any.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any religion. I don't really believe in any religion necessarily. Like, I mean. That's besides the point. Don't want to go too far. But my point is even though I'm not the most religious person, I've celebrated Christmas all 36 years of my life, and I will continue to do so.
You know what? I am not. Listen, I don't mind happy holidays. Like, it doesn't get me bent out of shape.
No.
I have Jewish friends. I have Buddhist friends. I have Hindu friends.
And do any of them ever care if you say Merry Christmas?
No.
I have
an Indian friend. And this guy for whatever reason, whenever we're out, people say Merry Christmas, right? He doesn't celebrate Christmas. Not once has he turned and said, screw you.
Celebrate. Or get it right. It's happy holidays.
Yeah. He's always been like, oh, you too.
The most sensitive people, man, are these made-up fabrications of these wars on holidays.
Well, you know what it is? It's you have to create controversy because you have to convince the stupid that there's this war against conservatism. It's ridiculous.
And
it's
also, like, I would stop labeling Thanksgiving as conservatism. It's just...
It's an American holiday.
It's Thanksgiving.
First of all, you can be any religion and celebrate.
Yes.
They celebrate Thanksgiving in Canada.
It's just tradition, yes, man. Be around your family.
Yeah.
Shut up. Be happy. Watch some football. Or don't.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Watch the new Irishman on Netflix. The new Scorsese movie. It just dropped. I watched The Mandalorian on Disney Plus.
I don't have to go out
for a hike. Go up to Mount Charleston and play in the snow.
Yeah.
Go tubing.
I don't have to get up and watch. I will. Watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. If there was a war, Macy's would say, you know what? We're going to call it the Macy's Turkey Day Parade.
You are 40. You are 40.
Hey, man, I've been watching that thing since I was a kid. I've been a couple times.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you're an East Coaster. That makes sense.
I grew up very close to New York City, so yeah.
You know what? I feel like I should do that. I feel like at least once you should go to the Macy's Parade.
You know what I would not do ever? Go to Times Square.
Black Friday, New Year's.
Yeah, because it's a bit of
I heard there's no bathrooms. I heard they just...
I went once.
Go on the street corner.
When it went from 2001 to... from 2000 to 2001.
Okay.
It was...
So the not quite millennium.
Yes. Oh, I can only... Now, the millennium I spent in the most boring place in the world, St. Louis, Missouri.
I was in Vegas seeing Carlos Santana.
But there's no war on Thanksgiving. It's half-baked nonsense to convince people that there's people who are conspiring against you.
Now, let me...
Nobody is sitting in a room saying... Yeah, you know what? There's people who have studied the history and realize that what we've done to our indigenous population, as has happened in many places across the world, Australia being notorious.
There's a problematic history on some level.
I mean, look, we could just look at the pipeline that we basically stole the land from these native
people.
You're
talking about the Keystone pipeline up in Dakota?
Guess what? There's a leak.
Yep. I think there was a couple. There's been a couple.
So, you know, it's more about recognizing the genocide as opposed to having a war on Thanksgiving.
Right. It has nothing to do with
you recognizing the wrongs of the past does not mean you have a war against Thanksgiving.
Just means you read a book here and there.
This is a guy who said yesterday when he celebrated the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage, I don't know why it didn't come sooner. Because it's the 100th anniversary?
Does he not know how math works?
He's a moron.
It is kind of incredible. He also said he beat Obama yesterday at that rally. I don't think he realizes that he wasn't running. He was running against Hillary.
Well, did you see? They said I had the best chest or whatever his comment was when he mysteriously went to Walter Reed Hospital for a physical in the middle of the night. I'm a busy man. No, you're not. You're lazy.
So as we talk about there not being a war on Thanksgiving, allow me to, start a war on Thanksgiving.
As if there was any doubt.
Because I've had it, Chapman. With this traditional, now my family knows this, my friends know this, but the listeners don't know this. I just realized the Mac attack started in January last year, so I missed all these holiday hot takes. So now I get to, now I have the microphone.
Can I go get my plain red Starbucks cup?
Exactly. I didn't have to jump in on any of that. Now we'll probably have another, like you said, starting on Friday.
Yep, there will be some made up, they said happy Hanukkah, it's a war on Christmas.
Now I do have a war on Thanksgiving food.
Yeah, I, if you don't like it, that's different than having a war on Thanksgiving.
Now
I defer.
Well,
hold
on. You're a cultured dude.
Yes.
You spent time in many different countries and many different cities. I am not a cultured dude. I'm a big buffoonish American. But as a big buffoonish American, I realized at some point, Magnum, that I don't have to bow to the cultural norms and mores of Thanksgiving and American society.
Yes.
Turkey, let me just say this about turkey. Turkey is fine. I don't really have a beef with turkey. No pun. I don't.
Someone else might.
I don't. It's fine. My thing with turkey is that I think most would agree it's probably better the next day as a sandwich.
Oh, with a little mayo.
With some mayo, cranberries.
You know, maybe, the cranberry.
maybe a thin layer of stuffing. Essentially what Capriati
yes,
does with
the bobby. Yes.
Essentially, it is. Thank you for Capriati's does something with Lotus.
They bring food here a lot.
They bring your food a lot. Yeah. So I feel okay. Yes. Thank you, Capriati.
And a lot of them is the bobby.
Yes, it is.
And the other one is the capistrani.
I feel like we just had one last week.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, they had.
And I went in after. Yeah. Actually, it was after hours. It was like
they bring food quite a bit.
They do. So thank you, Capriati's. But yes, a homemade Capriati's, if you will. Turkey is usually better in that regard. So for this day that we celebrate food and family and getting together, I understand there's some traditions, but sometimes traditions can hinder us. Sometimes traditions can hold us back, Chris Chapman, from being the best versions of ourselves. And I'll tell you what, I don't know when it clicked for me. I was about 10 years ago, because when I first moved here, the wife and I, we did do turkey. We did. And I remember the first one we did. Oh, I'm so lucky we didn't die. I de-thawed it in a warm bathtub the night before. Now, you're making a face, and that face is completely apt. Not only that, I thawed it, in a warm bathtub, marinating in Hawaiian teriyaki marinade. Problem with that, turkey is highly susceptible to salmonella.
Yes.
Especially in a warm environment. So what we think happened is the turkey slow cooked.
Yeah.
Over that 12 hours in the warm bathtub, like it actually cooked a little bit.
Yeah.
And it didn't develop salmonella.
Did you keep adding water to it? Like you'd go in like an hour later and
No.
How did you keep it warm?
I didn't. So in hindsight, very lucky that I didn't die from salmonella or some horrible stomach disease. It was actually pretty delicious. But after the work and making a turkey for just the wife and I, because, you know, we're out here, we don't have any family, it's just her and I.
Yeah.
I made a pivot about 10 years ago where I started a new tradition. Done are the necessary trimmings and the need to have turkey on Thanksgiving. America, Vegas, you don't have to have turkey on Thanksgiving. No. You are adults. You can do whatever you want to do. So you know what I started doing?
Barbecue.
Damn right.
Yeah.
I sent this out on Twitter yesterday, yes. So I did.
You know what, though? I was in the office today, and someone walked in and was talking to the guy I share an office with.
Yeah.
And they were talking about their plans, and the guy said he's going to a specific barbecue place. So
is it the one potentially on Highland?
No, it's the one that's over, I will say it's in a casino in Summerlin.
Okay.
I think they have one over in downtown Green Valley Ranch as well, in that area.
Okay.
But
I know the one you're talking about.
Named after B.B. King's guitar.
I know the barbecue place. All right. I like that place. It was good. The barbecue place that I went to before I went to Highland.
It's pretty good.
Now, I will say this. So, yeah, that's what I would do. I would go to Highland. I would go to the barbecue place, and I would get an $80 order of ribs and chicken and the bacon cheddar mash and did all that. You know how much happier I am at Thanksgiving now that I eat what I want?
Well, and you don't have to, you know, get in the kitchen and now – I do cook. I am not cooking this year. Because
and you know what? It might be cheaper. It might be cheaper to do carryout.
It probably is.
It might be.
Because I don't have my son this year, so he's with his mom for Thanksgiving. So my mom, who lives here in town, we will be going out to dinner. A friend will be joining us. Today's her birthday, so I'll let her pick.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Yeah, we'll give her a shout there, and she can pick. And, you know, it was my son's birthday last week. He wanted sushi, so my mom will not be picking sushi. However, if she did, I would be thrilled. But
Mom.
I did cook last year for Thanksgiving. Now, she does all the trimmings, like the green beans, and I like turnip, so she makes turnip and the mashed potatoes, and my mom always does a really good job. But I grew up in a very Italian house. My mom's parents are both immigrants from Italy. Not a lot of English. Thanksgiving was an Italian holiday to them. They believed because of Christopher Columbus, we'd celebrate Thanksgiving. Now, that's another story. But we would always have fish. My grandmother would make fish. We'd always have, like, black olives. We'd have antipasto.
Yes.
And we would have – now, she would make turkey, but we would also have, like, a pasta, baked ziti, lasagna, something really good. So, for me
– I like that.
So, I like that they embraced their culture and made it part of the American holiday culture. Again, I'd go up – we'd go up into Brooklyn, and we would watch the parade. We'd spend the night before because it's a hassle to get from the Jersey Shore to Brooklyn on Thanksgiving Day. So we would spend the night. I'd get up early in the morning, watch parade, sometimes go. And then when my grandmother passed away, it became completely different because at that point,
she held the key to the sanity.
Yeah, because
and to actually making good Thanksgiving.
My father's family, they were English.
Boo.
Slash Irish.
Wait, my dad's English.
So let's just say the drop off from Thanksgiving food. Now, if you wanted Yorkshire pudding or a roast on a Sunday night, that's a different story. But.
No, you want the Italian cookie. You want the spice. You want the flavor.
Yes.
Anyway, I applaud your grandma for
she was fantastic.
Clearly ahead of the curve. Set her boots in the ground. Her place.
The best part is I'd be 7-8 years old. Glass of wine with dinner.
Oh, that's right. Italians.
Yeah. Oh, there's no messing around there.
Look at what you become.
Cristofalo, you must drink wine.
Cristofalo?
Yeah.
Cristofalo.
You must drink wine.
Cristofalo.
Yes. So my grandfather would call me.
What does it mean?
I think it's Christopher.
Cristofalo.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm using that.
Yeah, Cristofalo.
I don't know how he settled on Magnum.
Yeah.
Cristofalo was out of the
We could blame the old general manager of the building for Magnum, but yeah. Cristofalo, you must have drank wine with your dinner.
Man.
Okay.
All right. So I've already got my plans ironed out for tomorrow. Gonna be happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Let me just say that. No war on Thanksgiving here.
Not in this office.
I'm going to, I can say it, Naked City Pizza. They've been good to us over the.
You know what? There's the Express over by my house.
Yeah.
And that's pretty good.
I'm doing wings. I'm doing beef on weck.
I like that.
A little veggie pizza for the wife. I'm just going to have a smorgasbord of Naked City Pizzas. So.
I like how you have now incorporated Sweden and Norway into...
Sure.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. I don't care.
Right? America is a melting pot of everybody.
Anything but turkey, Magnum. There is no war on Thanksgiving, but there is a war on turkey. All right. When we come back, we're going to delve into these Thanksgiving Day games that are going to be going down. And then I want to jump back to a little viral video from last week of a Chicago Bears fan celebrating Thanksgiving early. The dude brought an entire pumpkin pie into Soldier Field with a can of whipped cream, which begs the question, what is the craziest thing you've ever snuck into an event, sporting, music, or otherwise? We're going to delve into that on this very special pre-Thanksgiving edition. Happy Thanksgiving of the Mac Attack.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell. On 920 The Game.
Sure, the Wu-Tang Clan celebrates Thanksgiving.
How many turkeys do you think they can get down in the 36 chambers?
Well, you need RZA, GZA, Old Dirty Bastard, Inspector Deck, Raekwon.
Well, he's the chef.
U-God. That's a good point. So we know Raekwon's
cooking
all of them.
He's the one cooking,
U-God, Ghostface Killa.
Method Man.
Then you got to throw in Capadonna.
Yes, Capadonna.
I mean, Killa Army. There's like three people in Killa Army. So I don't know, like 10 turkeys?
Oh, at least.
I mean, if you're in the Wu-Tang, you need your own turkey.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cookie Tiger style.
I'm so you shut.
Yeah.
Feeding you.
My God.
Feeding you. That's a Thanksgiving thought.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Pivot. moving on.
I don't know if anybody in the history of radio has ever incorporated the Wu-Tang Clan into Thanksgiving, but we do know that Raekwon is the chef. Yes.
Yeah. No, this is all coming together. Clearly, we totally have a plan here on the Mac Attack. We totally knew that was going to happen. First of all, I mentioned, what are you going to do tomorrow? We're going to get to these NFL games, sneaking things into events and all that good stuff. But I also threw the option, hey, you can go watch The Irishman, the new Martin Scorsese, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro.
Joe Pesci's in that too.
Joe Pesci has made his return to Hollywood. Film that is on Netflix, clocking into 3.5 hours. Tim Marchman.
3.5 hours.
It's a long one.
Yikes.
Tim Marchman from Vice had this to say, trying to think of something more unappealing than a bunch of mummies 40 years past their prime using CGA to cosplay themselves in a movie that's already been made 6 times by the same director. I got triggered, Magnum.
Yeah, that pisses me off.
Yeah. You have an option here. Shut up and don't watch it.
Yes.
You clearly didn't watch the movie, Tim Marchman.
Yeah.
You're just trying to rain on my parade.
Well,
Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yes.
It's most likely going to be The Irishman tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm setting apart 3.5, either tonight when I'm done with these shows or tomorrow, I'm watching The Irishman. I was trying to go see it in theaters. Now, they did do a local release here, but I think it was over the last couple weeks. I just didn't make it out. They were showing it downtown at the theater. But... yeah, I don't understand this. It's like the people that say, I've never seen Star Wars. Yeah, cool, good for you. Yeah. That was me until 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I never saw Star Wars until I was like 32. But I wasn't running around saying I never saw Star Wars.
You see, I've never seen Lord of the Rings guy.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But like, I don't go around like bragging about it.
I never saw Titanic.
Ugh, awful.
I knew the ending. Worst, it was like Passion of the Christ.
Yes, you know what happens. Yeah,
kind of know what's going to happen there.
You know where it's going.
Not a lot of mystery.
Yeah, you know that at some point that ship is hitting the iceberg and Leo's going to die.
Sorry, Leo.
We like you.
Yeah, we like you, but you
die. We like you in a lot of stuff, but you know what? Titanic, not your best work.
Just not Titanic. So I just wanted to say that. Don't let stupid people determine your Thanksgiving. If you want to eat turkey, talking to stupid people, don't listen to me. Fry your turkey like Magnum. Fried turkey's delicious.
Yes, I have never understood
everything's fried,
the purpose of a movie critic.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I don't care. Like, you could tell me, hey, Magnum, I saw this great movie. You got to watch it. I might think it's trash. And you know what it makes me think of? Another Disney Plus moment. I have all 30 seasons of The Simpsons.
Right.
I watched the episode the other night with the film festival. John Lovitz comes in, plays the critic. Homer begs Marge, because she doesn't respect him, to be on the award council to pick the best movie. And his favorite movie is Mole Man getting hit in the groin by football. Hysterical, right? Funniest movie. But everyone thinks Barney should win, because he's the drunk and he makes a sad, sappy movie. Well, me personally, you tell me which movie, I'm going to go see Man Getting Hit and Groin by Football. I'm sorry. That's just my type of movie.
His personal taste.
Yes.
That's right. And maybe I want to sit through a 3.5-hour redo of a movie I've seen. Also, what's the last one Scorsese did like this? Departed?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was 2013 years ago? 2005 or 6.
A long time ago.
And then before that, it was Goodfellas. That was 91.
One of the best movies ever, by the way.
So it hasn't been made 6 times by the same director. He's a crime drama aficionado. Yeah, there's going to be some Rolling Stones music, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a trope and a formula to a Martin Scorsese film. I don't care.
Yeah.
Joe Pesci's back. Shut up, Tim Marsman. Yeah.
And like, the thing is, like, my ex-wife used to watch Law & Order. Mm. You've seen one episode of Law & Order? You have literally seen every single episode of Law & Order. You've seen ER? You've seen Grey's Anatomy? They are the exact same show. Maybe the characters change. Maybe someone's hooking up with someone else. But you know what? Kid comes in. Kid is sick. They have to figure it out. There's a love story in there. They save the kid. Happy ending. Mm. There's drama at the end between the two lovers. That's Grey's Anatomy in a nutshell. And that's every single episode.
Magnum.
I don't care if Scorsese's made the same movie 100 times.
I'm with you.
I like it.
I'm with you. So if we're not going to be watching The Irishman, we're definitely going to be watching football. I guess I'm going to watch the Bears. I have to. It's Thanksgiving Day. It's against the Lions. I don't really care if they win. Line opened at -1.5 for the Bears. Bears were getting +1.5. It is now the Lions in some places getting 4.5. Obviously, Detroit's quarterback issues playing into account there. But I don't know, man. We'll see. I'm not going to throw anything out there. Told you to take the Giants last week. 1.5 points, 5.5 is what I got it at. I don't know. That's just going to be a blank show.
Lions 3-7-1.
Yeah. But they're capable of beating the Bears. They're certainly capable of covering, because the Bears can't score. And they can't kick. I guess the good news, if you're watching a kicking game, which I would almost guarantee you this is going to be, it's indoors in Detroit at Ford Field. So I don't know. I guess you can watch that if you want. Or, again, watch The Irishman. Then you got Buffalo and Dallas. I think that's going to be a game a lot of people are going to be watching. Buffalo getting 6.5 right now on the road, 7 in some places. I like that game. I like that game for the future of Dallas, too, from the standpoint if Jason Garrett loses this game. I mean, you might already be looking at the end of Jason Garrett as right now. And I can't believe we're talking about that with a guy who's leading the NFC East and has done a job over his last 10 years with the Cowboys, despite not really getting to where they wanted to go to, obviously. Obviously a lot, though, to watch there in terms of future coaching decisions, because if they drop to Buffalo at home after losing that close game to New England, you can imagine Mr. Jerry Jones is going to be none too thrilled. Then, of course, the night game. Not much more exciting,
unfortunately. Not an easy game for the Cowboys, I don't feel.
Saints and Falcons. No, it's not. It's definitely not an easy game for the Cowboys.
By the way,
what?
Detroit may be starting David Blah as quarterback tomorrow.
Is that a joke?
No.
The last name?
David Blau. I think that's
Blau
how you say it.
Blau or Blah?
B-L-O-U-G-H.
Blah.
Blah.
It's literally the name of a guy you would not know or care about. Who's your starter on Thanksgiving? Blah.
Yeah.
Is that a noise or your quarterback?
I will give you a guess which school he went to. It's a Big 12, Big 10 school.
Oh. That makes it bad because I feel like I should know.
Well, no, because there's not a lot of good quarterbacks in the Big Ten outside of the guys from Ohio State and Michigan.
They're still big schools.
Yeah, but this is – I mean, you could not get a more blah school than this one.
Who?
Purdue.
Oh.
He's a Purdue guy.
Well, you're spot on about Purdue being a blah school. I grew up around there. I used to party. In high school, I used to party at Purdue because my best friend's sister was in a sorority there. So we would go to Purdue. Purdue was my first taste of college. And, like, yeah, I was like a sophomore or junior in high school.
Then again, Drew Brees did go to Purdue.
He did. It was just very concrete. It's an engineering school.
Oh, my kid would love that.
Well, it can be. In the fall, it's beautiful because the leaves change. But, okay, so, yeah, it is a very blah school. Blah from Purdue, starting quarterback for the Detroit Lions. Still might be better than Mitch Trubisky. We'll keep an eye on that. Last week, this is what I was setting up before we went to break. A Chicago Bears fan was filmed inside Soldier Field, and I don't know how this man did this. He brought in a pumpkin pie or a sweet potato pie into the game. And not only that, I'm talking full, tinfoil and everything. And then there is video of him slowly and meticulously swirling a full can of whipped cream on said pie. And I was blown away at the audacity, the skill. Wow. I know it's winter, so you got, you know,
the bigger coat.
So, I mean, I think that makes it a little bit easier. But even so, I mean, then there's a question of, like, is pumpkin pie even good? I don't know. It's
fine. I like pumpkin pie.
I mean, it's sweet, so it's fine.
I don't know if I'd want to eat it at a Bears game.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to eat anything at a Bears game just from the standpoint it might come back up.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so bad.
Yeah.
I would convulse and just throw up everything that I had eaten and drank throughout the day. But it got me thinking. We kind of talked about this, actually, yesterday, Chapman, when we were off the air. And I kind of surprised you. I am a sneaker. I'm pretty good. I'm also very cheap, despite what some people at this station think. I'm not rich. I have no money. I'm very frugal, very cheap.
That's good.
Pay for everything at the Vegas Golden Knights games, for sure. Never bring anything into T-Mobile. I would never dream of doing anything like that.
Well, always, that's very, very good of you.
Always make sure that T-Mobile gets all the money for their $6 bottled water. Would never dream of... I'm sorry. We have Alyssa Milano. What is this? What was that show?
Charmed.
And Alyssa Milano is walking down the stairs in a nightie.
Yeah.
And it's very thin. And I got distracted. I'm sorry.
I'm a fan of
hers. What do you want me to do? I'm an 80s kid. You put Alyssa Milano on the TV.
Well, now she's talking on the brick cell phone to Shannon
Doherty.
Where's
the controller? Grab the controller. Turn this off. Turn this off. This is very bad.
I'm looking.
She was very excited, too, when she came down the stairs. It was not good. It's not. You can't see it now, but I'm telling you, man, it was there.
I don't know where the remote is.
Oh, great. So now we're just going to talk about Alyssa Milano. I'm easily distracted, Magnum. I'm a pig. Thank you.
That's not working.
What the hell were we talking about? Oh, yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Actually, we were talking about how I'm a disgusting pig because I was sneaking food into events. Again, not the Vegas Golden Knights, but Magnum, there was a time, I want to say 1996 was the year, I had my first boy-girl date, and I was trying to make an impression. I was trying to, I mean, she wasn't Alyssa Milano, but, I mean, she might as well have been. It was my first boy-girl date.
What year was it, 1996?
1996. The movie was Evita. Remember
That's
Evita?
That's right, yes. We talked about that, actually.
Madonna starring in the story of Eva Perón, you know, big, definitely got it my Blu-ray catalog. No, it's a lie. Point being, I wanted to impress this girl. I wanted to show her that I was a man, Casey Underley. I see Casey, still friends on Facebook. I wanted to impress her, show that I was a man of principle, show that I was a guy who could get things done. So Magnum, that day to see Evita, I snuck in a 20-piece nugget and sweet and sour sauce from the fast food spot. You know the spot I'm talking about.
Yes.
Supersize fry and a supersize Coke. You know it's legit. You know, 1996, they had that. That was the supersize fry and the supersize Coke.
The 80-ounce soda that they
used. And my friends were looking at me, they're like, you're not going to get it in. I was like, oh, I'm going to get it in. I haven't eaten yet. And, you know, I got a date, so, I mean, 10 nuggets aren't going to do it. I got to bring an extra 10. Got to double up on the sweet and sour sauce. Got to have the super sour size fry and the super size Coke. I got it in. I got it in. I ate that entire meal at that movie, and I had my first kiss after that. So don't tell me.
Casey, helping you out.
That's right. Don't tell me that my stick-to-itness and my cheapness and my innovation didn't reward itself. So I will throw this question to you, Magnum. You strike me as a cheap and frugal fellow.
I like to spend money, but only on myself.
Okay. I think that's fairly accurate here. That's why we get along so well on the Mac Attack. What is the craziest thing you've snuck into an event?
Well,
not drugs, not illicit substances. I want playful. It's Thanksgiving,
well,
Magnum.
I don't know if it qualifies as an illicit substance, but
cocaine is an illicit substance.
I'm not Papa John.
Oh, okay. My bad.
I would imagine the statute of limitations has expired on this.
Yeah.
My dad and uncle are both dead, so I don't think there's going to be anything that comes from
R.I.P. dad and uncle.
Yes. So when we were kids, we used to have season tickets to the New York Jets. Me and my brother would get to go to 4 games a year.
Right.
I would pick 4. He would pick 4. My dad and uncle, my other uncle, we had 6 tickets. We would go to the parking lot early. I always liked going because I got to skip CCD. And we had this weird cooler that looked like the backpack that, like, if you carried a rifle, you would put it in the back. Like it was like a pouch, but it was long.
Right.
And you could fit 6 cans in it.
Okay.
Now, my uncle worked for Frito-Lay, so that's where he got it. Had the big Frito-Lay logo on it and everything. They would put 6 cans of beer inside this pouch, and they would strap it on my back, and they would put like a sweatshirt if it was the fall, or if it was the winter, I'd wear my big winter New York Jet starter jacket or whatever and cover it up.
Right.
And I would sneak through, because there were no metal detectors in those days. I would sneak into the Meadowlands.
Looking like you were carrying a gun.
No, because you couldn't see it because it was covered up by the big jacket or the sweatshirt.
Oh, okay, okay.
So while they were stopping and checking my dad and uncle.
I was very confused there for a second. I was like, wait, that was
so,
okay.
So the security guys would stop and check my dad and uncle. And they would just let me walk on through because.
So they used you as a mule.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. So we would sneak, and if my brother went, it was him. We would sneak a 6-pack of beer into Section 315 at Giant Stadium to go watch the Jets, usually lose. But sometimes I would put like Jersey Mike's sub sandwiches inside my, because the starter jacket had the inside pocket.
You had Jersey Mike's in Jersey?
But, that's where it's from.
I thought it was just one of those like East Coast labeling things. And
Jersey
like,
Mike's is from my hometown.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
first of all, thank you for the number 16.
Yes.
I don't know. It was the number 16, the chicken Philly back in Indiana.
Oh man. You know what you do?
They probably changed the numbers.
You throw a little pepperoni on that. Oh, chicken Philly with a pepperoni. Fantastic.
Love J. Mike's.
I'm a number 12
guy.
Man,
are we going to get some money? Jersey, we already plug Capriati's. We like Capriati's more than J. Mike's because they pay us. Or at least bring us food.
Yeah, Jersey Mike's. You gotta.
Yeah.
I see the advertising when I'm watching the Anaheim Angels games.
Yeah.
I see it advertising.
Yeah, I see you.
I see you advertising in hockey games.
Couldn't get further from Jersey. Yeah.
And you know what's funny? The one up here, up the street, they had me sign my name on the wall.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Because from Jersey?
Yeah. They had it on a bag, and I put my name and where I'm from originally. So, but, yeah, I would sneak a whole sandwich into the game sometimes, along with beer, sometimes bags of chips.
Well,
I mean, I had a whole smorgasbord on my way up to Section 315.
Well, it's no 20-piece nugget and super-sized fries, super-sized Coke. But
I can't compete with that.
I do definitely applaud Uncle and Dad for using you as essentially a drug mule. Alcohol's a drug, too, people. Damn the semantics! We'll be right back here on the Mac Attack.
You're listening to The Mac Attack.
Shout out to Uncle and Papa Chapman Escobar using their family as drug mules.
Yeah,
getting in 6-packs into the Jets game. I love it. That's the type of content that we want here on The Mac Attack, Magnum.
It's good stuff. I will never forget it. I skipped out on Sunday school, and I smuggled beer into Giant Stadium.
Oh, man, I so wanted to get into Aubrey Hoff wanting to start another Civil War.
Oh, he's a loony.
He is not. How does he still have a Twitter account? That's not my point. We're going to say, I don't think we're even going to save Aubrey Hoff. If you guys care, go.
What did he say this time? Because I know he said some really dumb things in the past.
This was him essentially threatening another civil war. Shared a photo. This is former Tampa Bay Ray Aubrey Huff sharing a photo on Twitter saying, getting my boys trained up on how to use a gun in the unlikely event Bernie Sanders beats real Donald Trump in 2020. In which case, knowing how to effectively use a gun under socialism will be a must. By the way, most of the headshots were theirs, and it's just a him holding up a target with a bunch of bullet holes and just talking about how...
So I want to get this straight.
Yes, he's training his kids how to use a gun in case Bernie Sanders beats Trump.
Democracy is great when your guy wins with the help of Russia.
Right.
But when someone else who you don't like wins...
Right. Break out the guns.
It's time to break
also,
out the guns.
Also, Aubrey, buddy, I mean, I'm not political. I didn't vote for Obama. I didn't vote for Bush. You know, I just know a con man when I see one. This idea, though, that only one half of the country has guns is comical to me.
I realize
we live, right?
Yeah.
Like, you do realize this is America? And I mean, maybe it's just me being from Indiana and now living in Vegas, but everyone has guns?
Yeah.
Everyone? I don't care what side of the spectrum you're on?
Well, I laugh.
I was literally driving down here on Flamingo down in the studio, and there was a shot-out pickup truck that had buckshot all across the back of the side of the bed. And I was just like, yeah, that's normal here.
Yeah. Like, I laugh when I see the people who always say, oh, well, gun regulations work so well in Chicago and Detroit and Washington, D.C. And it's like, yeah. And whose side do you think those people are on?
That's not even the inner city. It's like, and again, just normal suburban people.
Yeah.
Everyone's strapped in America, baby.
Yeah.
USA. USA.
I mean.
Also, we already had the Civil War.
Yes.
I would
Aubrey, your side lost.
Well, I think so.
No, I think so. I mean, Aubrey.
Well, not if you listen to people around the spectrum, this, you know, Union and Confederacy. Anyway, it's good times. Wars on Thanksgiving, wars on politicians, wars on Americans. Woo!
How about you just accept that there are people who disagree with you?
Yeah.
And I don't believe that. You know, and I love how, and I'm not a Bernie guy, but I love how it gets so convoluted, his message.
Right.
Like, no. They just want to use your tax dollars, and instead of paying for bombs,
yeah, that's it.
They want to pay for people to have health care.
Maybe like roads and schools and infrastructure.
Yeah. Like,
and
I have a
maybe
friend
like
who,
Amazon pays a little bit more taxes than their workers do. And an Amazon worker.
Netflix, right? They paid zero tax. Right. Like, your subscription to Netflix is more than they paid in
someone
tax last
year. Someone working
at
an Amazon factory, tagging boxes, pays more in taxes, one of person, than the entire corporation did last year. All of Amazon. Like, I don't know where that... Like, how is that even political? Like, this is a sports show. I'm not really trying to go down that road. But Aubrey Huff comes out and threatens a civil war and says he's getting his kids ready to have a better aim in case Bernie Sanders beats Donald Trump. Like, how delusional do you have to be?
Well, you're
and also, as we talk about this, the snowflakes and these people that are sensitive, there's no war on Thanksgiving. But Aubrey Huff, you're not going to run back to civil war.
Sicko.
Everyone's got guns. I wanted to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights. We didn't even get to. Malcolm Subban in net tonight.
They lose again.
Against the Nashville Predators. Well, that's what you said.
I like Malcolm. I like Malcolm a lot. I think a lot of people trash him for, well, the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I don't see it with this team. I see zero urgency. St. Louis or Nashville, they beat St. Louis the other night. Now they are missing Victor Arvidsson, who's probably their best player, but they have so many other great players.
One more note, Gallant confirmed that Marc-Andre Fleury was back home with a serious illness in his family. Quote, no timetable for his return. This is kind of something we had been hearing about.
Yeah.
So
just hope all is well.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah.
You root for him. He's just a super guy. I don't want to see anything bad happen to him or his family.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, Marc-Andre Fleury dealing with some personal issues, family related up there in his hometown. So no timetable on his return, but we know, you know, Fleury a little bit. He'll want to get back in there. No show tomorrow or Friday. We'll see you on Monday, friends.